I enjoyed your singing. And I compliment you because, you know, most assemblies sing too slow. I don't know where they think they're going. They're going to heaven. They act as if they're going to a funeral. Now, on this one hymn, it's one of my favorites. I know you're playing according to the music, but I'm going to change the music a little bit. Down there at the end of the verse, he grows to sweeter, but 484, the one we just sang. 484, I'm sorry. Where at the end of that verse it says, each day he grows to sweeter than he was the day before. Now, I know how it's written, but I'm going to ask you to sing it my way. Don't change the time. Just keep going right on into the chorus. Let's try verse 1, please. No, 2. Heaven. They act as if they're going to a funeral. Now, on this one hymn, it's one of my favorites. I know you're playing according to the music, but I'm going to change the music a little bit. Down there at the end of the verse, he grows to sweeter, but 484, the one we just sang. 484, I'm sorry. Where at the end of that verse it says, each day he grows to sweeter than he was the day before. Now, I know how it's written, but I'm going to ask you to sing it my way. Don't change the time. Just keep going right on into the chorus. Let's try verse 1, please. No, 2. Around here getting things, and you know there's one thing about things. We have a brother in New York. Whenever we had a funeral service, he would ask the question, people say, what did he leave? Everything. But where we're going, thanks very much. Thank you. Now shall we turn again, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You remember our subject? Just one word there in verse 28 occupied our attention yesterday, and we want to continue from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Speaking of the many gifts that God has given, we are devoting our thoughts to just one of those gifts. Verse 28, please. God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps. And that's our subject. To be a help in the service of the Lord, to be a help in the assembly of the Lord, to be a help in our homes, to be a help for the Lord wherever we go. Now, when we consider this subject, there are two objections that many believers raise. I'm too old. There is nowhere in the scripture where we are told that we get so old that we can't serve the Lord. Now, I know what you're thinking. I have arthritis. We're coming to that in the next session. We just want to talk about age now. There is nothing in the Word of God to suggest that anyone should be too old or ever becomes too old to serve the Lord. You're always young enough to serve. Number one, young people, do not retire. No amens, fine. Do not retire, but refire. One amen. Don't you plan your life to retire at such an age I'll give it all up. You will. You die faster. Refire. Plan your life so that when you come to what they call retirement time, you go right on serving the Lord. That's our subject today. Age is no criterion for stopping serving the Lord. Again, we're going to look at several scriptures, Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7. Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. Now, you're going to tell me, fine, that's all right for Moses, but the next part isn't true of me. We're coming to that at the second section. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Tell me, how old was he when he started to serve the Lord? 80 years old. And he went on for 40 years. Don't plan to retire. Refire. Plan to serve the Lord till your last day. Now, we're going to come to the question of health. We're just talking about age now. Joshua chapter 13, please. Now, already you are familiar with my habit. We turn to many scriptures. Joshua chapter 13. First month. Now, Joshua was old and stricken in years. He's an old man now. The Lord said unto him, the Lord said, you are old and stricken in years, and there remains yet very much land to be possessed. He's an old man. Now turn, please, to chapter 23. And in turning from chapter 21, rather from chapter 13 to chapter 23, there is a span of 25 years. So if he was old in chapter 13, he's much older in chapter 25. Am I right? What does he say in verse 15? If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that served and were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites. As for me, he was only stricken now, he's 25 years older. As for me and my house, old as I am, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what I'm getting at. You never get so old that you can't serve the Lord. Age is no excuse. I want to repeat again, I'm coming to arthritis, but that's the second section. We're just talking about age. You never get too old. Chapter 14, please, while we're running. Chapter 14 of Joshua. Verse 10. Now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Caleb is speaking. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85. I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Now, we're going to come to that. That's not the point. The fact is that he's 85 and he's still serving. Now, you read the rest of his life. Give me this mountain. 85 years old. Do not plan to retire. Plan to serve the Lord to the last day of your life. Oh, there's some others. Read with me in the book of Luke. Age is no excuse for not serving the Lord. Now, you're going to tell me I'm not as strong as I used to be. We're coming to that. You're not supposed to be as strong as you used to be. And we show it from the Bible. I think of my grandchildren. I'll ask one of them to go upstairs and get so-and-so. Child goes up by 2 steps or 3 steps at a time. And as for coming down, you hear a tumble. See, I walk down. They tumble down, and nothing happens to them. Fine, they're supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to do that, but I am supposed to serve the Lord as long as I'm alive. That's the issue. Age does not contraindicate serving the Lord. And to you young folks, plan your lives so that when you get to the retirement so-called age, you will still have something to do. Don't plan to sit down in a rocking chair and while your life away. You'll die faster. But if you plan to serve the Lord, you'll have more joy than when you were younger. These are some of the happiest days of my life, serving the Lord, getting alone with the Lord, closing the door, everybody outside, and just the Lord and Arthur Gardens. That's one of the beauties of age. You can get alone with it. Plan on that. Don't plan, as I say, to sit in a rocking chair. But let's go on now. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2 and verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, 84 years old. She departed not from the temple, but served God. 84 years old, and she's serving God with fasting, prayers, night and day. She coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake to him, of him to all the people that happened, that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. 84 and serving. That's what we're getting at. Now there's some others, you know. Genesis 18. Genesis chapter 18. Verse 11. I spoke along these lines recently, and there was a brother there, he was 89, and he said to me, that's the first time I ever heard anybody preach on old people. It's not old people, it's young people. You expect to get old, don't you? My point is, get old, fine, but don't stop serving the Lord. Don't retire, refire. Get on fire for the Lord. Now, we're going to come this afternoon later to all these illnesses that you have. That fellow, arthritis. I can't this and I can't that. Yes, you can. We're going to show it from the Word of God. But we come now to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 11. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. Our Lord said that. They were old and well stricken in age. Fine. Now come down to verse 19. Here's the Lord talking about an old man. I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. He was old, but he was still in command. Do you remember Jacob? He was an old, old man. But he was in command, and when they had no food, where he was, he said, well, get together and go down to Egypt. He was in command, even though he was old. And so, young people, don't think that old age is a time to stop serving the Lord. But if you're going to serve him when you retire, you better start now to prepare. Because you will not retire today, and all of a sudden tomorrow, I'm serving the Lord. It doesn't work that way. Service for the Lord requires training and learning. Take time out now to learn the Word of God, to find His will for you, so that when the time comes to retire, you'll be ready to refire. But it doesn't come overnight. It comes with years of patient waiting on the Lord, years of studying His Word, years of walking with Him. And then when retirement comes, you are refired and ready to go on again. That's the gist of our lesson. Oh, there are some others. Let me see. Jacob. Genesis chapter 42. I mentioned him, but we'll read it. Now, he's an old man. Very old man. When Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, he said to his sons, and each of those sons had families, but he's still in command. He's still giving orders. Now, that doesn't mean that grandparents must take over, but it does mean that grandparents should be serving the Lord and helping. We mentioned it this morning, but I can't jump to the scriptures now. It'll take us too long. But at least twice in the book of Deuteronomy and again in the Psalms, grandparents are expected to help in the training of the children. You don't become a grandparent and just relax. There's an advertisement on the TV, you probably have it up here. This particular lady is so glad to be a grandmother. Because when she's finished with the grandchildren, she sends them home. Well, that's all right. That's one of the benefits of being a grandparent. But meanwhile, you're supposed to help to train them. Tell them those nice little Bible stories as only a grandmother can tell them. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ as only a grandmother can do it. Grandparents have a duty. Now, I want to take just, Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8, verse 23. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is it that belongs to the Levites. From 25 years old and upward, they shall go to wait upon the service of the tabernacle, and from the age of 50 they shall stop waiting. See, I stopped too soon. We'll read the rest. They shall stop waiting upon the service, but, verse 26, they may not be doing the active service, the laborious service of lifting the boards and carrying the weights and looking after the vessels. They may not do the laborious service, but, verse 26 says, they shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle. And if you look that up, it means they shall stand as consultants in the work of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that the Lord has said that when you get 50, you're supposed to stop hard work in the service of the Lord. You'll know when you get to the point where you can't do hard work. But meanwhile, you are supposed to serve in the assembly of the Lord's people in counsel and advice. Years that you've been walking with the Lord, you're supposed to advise the younger man and help the younger man. You recall how Paul took Timothy and Titus? That's what this is saying. I remember one brother, I tell you, and he died when he was young. He was 38 years old when he died. But for him, that was old. And he took us as young men. And he would say, now, Arthur, I want you to speak for 10 minutes. And you, my brother, you sing. And another do so-and-so. Get consent of our parents and take us to various assemblies. You imagine somebody 16 years old standing up before an audience trying to preach. But it was good. And one day, you know, I found myself talking for a half hour. An older man guiding and leading. That's what the older men are to look forward to. Helping the younger ones, not retiring and staying home and taking it easy. Always serving the Lord. Now, let's look at a few people in the world. We've all heard, I'm sure, Handel's Messiah. And I dare say everyone here likes the Hallelujah Chorus. Wonderful, isn't it? How old was Handel when he wrote it? That's it. Now you look that up. I'm not going to tell you. Haydn wrote the creation. The heavens are telling the glory of God. What a hymn. How old was he when he wrote it? I'll tell you, he was 67. You've heard of that Leonardo da Vinci, the great painter? He painted the Mona Lisa. And I remember in school when they talked about the Mona Lisa and showed us some pictures. I could never understand what was so wonderful about this Mona Lisa. She looked just like everybody else to me. But when we were in Paris, I had the privilege of looking at the original. Well, those pictures you see are nothing like the original. That thing is fascinating. How old was he when he painted that painting? He was over 60 years old. Age is no excuse for not serving the Lord. Michelangelo, you know, in the Vatican, that great painting on the ceiling, did it lying on his back? A masterpiece. If you've never seen it, I hope you'll see it. He was over 70 when he did it. He didn't stop. You've heard of Grandma Moses? 100 years old and she's still painting. She didn't stop. Well, at our second session, I'll tell you about some of those people. They didn't all have it easy. They had some arthritis. They had a whole lot of things. why Milton couldn't see at all when he wrote his greatest works. Most of us read Paradise Lost and so forth. The man couldn't see. But he worked. And he got his daughters, oh, he used to aggravate. But he'd get a sudden thought and call his daughters to write it down, and they're busy with something else. But he did it. Age is no excuse. There was a man named Cato. He was a Roman. And he decided to study Greek when he was 80. And he learned it. Age is no excuse, beloved. Let us plan now. Pablo Casals, another great painter. Now, I must confess to you that there are certain phases of art that I have no appreciation for. And much of his art, they tell me it's art I don't understand. For example, one of his masterpieces is called Blue Horses. But why would you want to paint a horse in blue? I have no idea. But he's considered one of the great painters of the world and did most of his work, or much of his work, when he was 90 years old. Pablo Casals playing the cello when he was 90. And one of my favorite artists, you've all heard of Otto Rubinstein? Oh, what a pianist he was. You know, you'd hear everybody else play a piece of music, and when he played it, it sounded different. He played the same notes, but he did something and the music was different. And he gave a concert in New York at Carnegie Hall when he was 89 years old. Age is no reason to stop serving the Lord. Now, many of you are familiar with Chanel No. 5, the ladies. I understand it's a favorite aroma with the ladies, Chanel No. 5. Well, Chanel, head of that setup, was 85 years and still president. Do you see what I'm getting at? Don't use age as an excuse. And you younger folks, as you plan and plan, don't plan to sit in a nice, comfortable chair. Plan to get up there and work for the Lord. Oh, there are many others that we could talk about. John Wesley, great preacher. Still preaching when he was 88 years old. And we'll say more about him this afternoon. The idea is, beloved, that we are to go on serving and serving. But younger folks, unless you prepare now, you will not be able to serve then. I repeat, this matter of serving the Lord is not something that happens suddenly. You wake up one day and you're going to serve the Lord. It doesn't work that way. It's years and years of preparation, studying the scriptures. And I'm so glad that that meeting this morning was lovely. Your sisters missed something. You ask your husbands about it. That was a lovely meeting. Young men interested in the word of the Lord. And I tell you, I was deeply impressed by some of those young men. Some recently saved and talking about the book of the Revelation. And some of us have been saved for years and we haven't gotten beyond chapter 3. And then they talked about the book of Daniel, not the first 6 chapters. We know those. I'm talking about those chapters that come after. The beast vision. And all the other visions, young men recently say, that's good. Please keep it up. And when the time comes for you to retire, you're ready to refire for the Lord. And I think of some others. We mentioned it before. Moses was 80 when he began his ministry. Now you have to be careful. You see how you estimate things. You say, well, I'm not going to live as long as Moses. Of course, you don't know that. And he didn't know how long he was going to live. But imagine starting at 80 years old. And you say, well, I don't have a long time. Well, he had another 40. And none of us knows how much time the Lord will give us. Let us then work with all the strength and might that we have. Now, I say it for this reason. We had in our assembly in New York certain brothers, I'm not going to call any names. If I went over there and called the names, they would know who. I want to tell you, beloved, these men had money. They had money. I remember one particular brother came to me, and he said, what is the cost of medical education? How much would it cost to get my 2 children through? And I gave him a rough estimate. He said, oh, that's easy. I have that. But the assembly never got anything. He didn't do anything in the assembly. And when he died, what do you think? He left. As we said before, he left it all. What a waste of a life. I think of another one. And he had much money. And we were having a building fund planning to build elsewhere. Another building in which to serve the Lord. And he declared, I won't give them one penny. Well, he never did. But he too died and left it all. And I think of a third one, and he wouldn't support the work financially. Died in his house, and 4 days later the police broke in and found that he was dead. And there was money under the cushions, in the closets, under the rug, all over the place with money. That's all he lived for. To me, that's a sad life. You're better off with nothing and serving the Lord. What joy do you get out of knowing I have $1 million? So what? All you can do is look at the bank book. Go and spend as much as you want, and still, so what? But as we were saying, I enjoyed the visit with our sister. You call her grandma. That was a precious visit. There is more to life than things, beloved. Let us plan to serve the Lord in the future. Plan for the future. Now, I'm going to go into the next phase, just a little bit. Now, some people say, well, you know, I can't serve the Lord because my joints are stiff. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Age is no excuse. And disability is no excuse. For not serving the Lord. Don't tell me I can't serve the Lord because of anything. If you can do nothing else, you can pray. There is no excuse for anyone not serving the Lord, not helping in the service of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Is that true? The outward man is perishing, of course. You know when the Lord said to Adam, the day thou eat thereof, thou wilt surely die? I like the translation that reads, dying, you will die. Well, you come into the world dying. When I was 8 years old, I started wearing glasses. Why? Because I'm dying. And at 16, I had a full complement of teeth. Some are missing today. Why? I'm dying. That's why you have arthritis, because you're dying. And that's why you have ulcers, because you're dying. You're not supposed to, there's some of these people, you know, the prosperity people, you're not supposed to get sick. The Bible says you're going to get sick. You're supposed to get sick. You're supposed to die unless the Lord comes to take you. But that does not interfere with the inner man. He is to develop. Is he developing, child of God? He is to develop. There is no excuse for the inner man, that divine nature not progressing and making advance. I don't know how many of you have met, he's now in heaven, Dr. Charles Rhodes. I don't know if you've ever met him. I remember the first day I met him in North Carolina. We were at just before breakfast. And I had heard about him. And so I said, glad to meet you, Dr. Rhodes. And he said, I heard a lot about you. I said, well, I'm going to keep still. He's going to talk first. Do you know what that man said to me? The first conversation, brother, you know, I have been studying the book of Isaiah for 72 years. And this morning I came across something I never saw before. Now, what do you do when you are in the presence of a man like that? You keep still. Let him talk. 72 years, and he found something new in a book, and he's been studying that book. Another time I went to visit him, dear brother. I told him, I just Just wanted to visit him. He'd say anything he wanted. Just talk. Do you know from 2 o'clock until 4, that brother talked about the Lord Jesus Christ and never repeated himself once. You should see his hands. You don't have to be a doctor or wouldn't have to be a doctor to know that he had arthritis. You'd never be a doctor. You could see it. Yet every morning, I'm a witness to it, he wrote not two memos, not two notes, two full-length letters every morning with crippled hands, serving the Lord. Disability is no excuse for not serving the Lord. Well, now as you guessed by now, I like music, and musicians attract my attention. And there is one musician that I heard of. You might know the name, Byron Janis. Anybody ever hear? Well, I had heard his music many times on the radio. Wonderful musician. And it was announced this time that he was going to appear on TV. Now, I know that there are various feelings about TV. Now, I'm not a TV fan, but there are certain things I did look at. I'm telling you, I look at the animal businesses, and the geographical things like that. Now, if you don't find them profitable, fine. I can look at them and not be bothered with other things. It was announced that he was going to play for his Byron Janis. And when the time came, I turned on the TV. There was the grand piano opened up. You know how they opened up. And what do you think I saw? A man came out, one shoulder down and one up, and walking with a limp. And I said to myself, he's the piano tuner. He's not the man I came to hear. And then he had the gall to sit down and pull out the stool and sit on it. And then he played. And he was the artist. The next day I learned that he can move only one joint in one finger of each hand. Only the distal joint of the middle finger. All the others are stiff. He can't move his wrist but a little bit. And you heard his sister, saw him play the piano and the organ. You move your wrist when you play those instruments. He has no wrist move. He has no feeling in his little fingers. And you know on a cold day when your hands are pretty cold and you go to unlock the door, you can't tell from the feel of the key how much to turn. Your fingers have no feeling. His little fingers have no feeling. And there he was, a master pianist. Disability is no excuse. I think of another one. He was a harpsichordist. And my wife and I heard him back in the 40s. Oh, he was a great artist. We liked to listen to him. I enjoyed listening to him. And I enjoyed his mannerisms. You know, different artists have different ways. Some jump, some pound, some... Rudolph Serkin used to sing when he was playing. And this man, he had a way of shaking his head. Well, that was in the 40s. And only in the late 80s, it was announced that he would appear on TV. I said, oh, this is going to be a treat to hear this man after so many years. And when he came out, he didn't look like the same man, and he walked with a different kind of a gait. And I said, something is wrong. He played well. Played excellent. Then the next day I learned that for the last 2 years he was totally blind. But he was playing. That's what I'm getting at. Disability is no excuse. Shall I give you another example? What time does the meeting start? 5 o'clock? 5, all right. I have a little over 10 minutes. I'll give you another example. A brother in the meeting. Now, I had read about him back in the 40s, but I never met him. And while I was in Missouri, the sister had there in her home a picture, such as you're going to take tomorrow, of the saints at a conference. And I had seen a picture of this brother, and I saw it and recognized it. And I said to her, is it true what I heard about this brother? Then I told her what I had heard. And she told me it was true. Now I'm going to tell you. This brother was in an assembly, an active young man. At the age of 45, He was in an explosion. Lost both eyes and both hands. We talked about that yesterday. If you have the choice, which would you want? To lose two eyes and have one hand, or to lose one hand and have two eyes, or lose both, and so forth. This man lost them all. Both eyes and both hands. But he was determined to serve the Lord. He was determined to read the Bible. And he tried reading Braille with his lips. That didn't work. And then he went to reading Braille with his tongue, and that worked. And that man would get up in the meeting and minister to the saints. You talk about disability. The injury happened when he was 45. He died when he was 90. 45 years with sight and feeling, 45 years without sight and without hands. But he served the Lord. Beloved, it can be done. We need to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. We need to stop having pity parties and get to work and serve the Lord. Don't tell me about arthritis and all these other terrible things that people have. You're supposed to have them. We are dying creatures. But that's no excuse for not serving the Lord. Now, you all know about Johnny Erickson. Everybody knows about her, don't you? And those pictures that she paints using her tongue. Well, I received a piece in the mail very recently about a group of people who are not able to use their hands. And they sent me some cards wanting to know if I wanted them for Christmas. I sent the cards back with a little contribution. I was amazed at what they were doing. No one in this group can use his hands. And they paint the most beautiful pictures using their lips. Some write with their toes. Talk about disability and serving the Lord. And these people are doing it. Not just one, a whole group of them. And we have two hands, we have our feet, we have our eyes, and talk about a little pain in the joint, and we can't serve the Lord. We should be ashamed, shouldn't we? Disability is no excuse. I think of someone else. As you gather, I collect these things. I like to collect. Having worked with people who were disabled and trying to restore them to function and seeing what they can do and what we are able to do. Now, in Paris, there was a boy born blind. All of his family and relatives were musicians of a high order. And there they were bemoaning the fact, this boy cannot see. How will he ever be a musician? And an old uncle came in. That's where the old people come in with that knowledge. So what are you all weeping about? The boy has two hands and two feet. Let him play the organ. And today he's an outstanding organist. Never saw a note. And not only is he an outstanding organist, he's an outstanding organ teacher. Talk about disability. Oh, beloved, we should be ashamed of ourselves. And those of you that are younger now, as you get older, some of these things are going to happen to you. You're supposed to. You're supposed to have these things. The old man is dying, but that's no excuse. Prepare to use what you have for the Lord. Oh, I have some more written here. Oh my, yes, my favorite composer, Beethoven. Oh, I think he was a great composer. I have a feeling that he, like Bach, was a man of God too. You listen to that music. It seems to me that you have to be a person of God to write what he wrote. Well, you know the story on him. At an early age, he began to lose his hearing. And by the time he was in the mid-50s, he completely lost it, but he didn't stop writing music. How do you write music when you can't hear? But he did it. And he wrote one symphony there. He was in the audience. The people were applauding. They had to have him stand up and look at the people to see them applauding. He couldn't hear it. But he wrote the music. So, beloved, I say again, let's stop feeling sorry for ourselves. And work, work, work. Work with what we have. There's a little hymn that they used to sing in the Sunday school. Shamgar had an ox bull. Rahab had a string. Gideon had a trumpet. David had a sling. Samson had a jawbone. Moses had a rod. Dorcas had a needle. And all were used for God. Let us be encouraged. With all that we see around, and with all that happens to us, let us never give up on God. Let us determine to go on for Him. In spite of the handicaps, in spite of whatever happens, let us be determined to serve Him. Age is no excuse for not serving the Lord, and disability is no excuse. May the Lord bless us. These few thoughts, just two thoughts that we have before us, age and disability, let them not be an excuse for serving the Lord. Now, I could tell you some more. There are many more. But time doesn't allow. Shall we pray? Again, Heavenly Father, we bow in thy blessed presence. Oh, how we thank thee for who thou art. The only true and living God, and we are thy children. What a blessing. We give thee thanks. And we have been reviewing thy word. Thou hast called us to service. Regardless of our physical condition, regardless of our age, we are to serve thee. Oh, may we take this lesson. And if we have not been serving, just determine and decide to serve thee as never before. Bless thy word, we pray. Bless every saint present. And for the time of fellowship that we shall share together, accept our thanks and grant thy blessing as we ask all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.